Do you like surveys?
I particularly don't care for them. I do them. There's some professional ones that I do occasionally and answer. Concordia Publishing House, our publishing center, will sometimes send me in all church worker surveys, and they'll ask on a scale from 1 to 10, you know, how do you like, things like that. But the other one I find interesting is when you go to the doctor. And the doctor looks at you and goes, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad does it hurt? Now, we took our youngest, her name's Jana, to the doctor. And she said her ear had been bothering her. And what's that? This was a long time ago. Yeah, she was little. She's now past 30. So anyway, Jenna, we took her to the doctor, and the doctor, he asked, well, how bad does it hurt? She goes, well, it bothers me. So he takes a look, and he goes, Jenna, how bad does it hurt? Well, it hurts a little. And he turns to us, he says, this is the worst ear infection I have ever seen in all my years as a doctor. And that's when we found out that Jana has extremely high pain threshold. So when someone asks someone like Jana, how bad does it hurt? And she goes, a little. What we had to tell Jana is when it hurts a little, you go to the doctor now. Because by then, it's probably going to be significant, right? Well, most of us aren't like that. But we all have a different rating system, don't we? Not only about pain, you know, how bad's your headache? How bad's your backache? How bad's your knee ache? How bad, you know, and all of that. We have a different rating scale about that, but we also have a different scale about what's good and bad. Some people have moved to Tennessee from the north to avoid all snow. Okay? And so when the weather changed, they went, that's good. And the kids that were praying to get out of school go, that's bad. We all have a different one. Well, go figure, humanity has a different scale than God's. And that's the discussion in Micah. What is good? And the question is, what is good to the Lord? Now we're trying to figure out his scale. And so the discussion says, what happens if I give you thousands and thousands and thousands of barrels of olive oil? Or if, you know, if I sacrifice a whole lot of livestock? Or on and on the list goes, and God's like this. No, I'm not impressed. And mankind thinks, that's a big deal. That's impressive. Because our scale is different. And so the last verse, if you look in your bulletin, I was going to say your Bible, but if you look at the Bible lesson on the back of the bulletin, did you catch God's answer? Take a look at that. He, God, has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Well, what does that mean? You know? Because people's sense of justice right now is different, isn't it? Boy, we have different definitions about that. We saw the protest on TV. You can't do that. That's not just. Others have a different definition of justice in the sense that a policeman does not have the right to tell me to stop and do nothing. To stand still. He just doesn't have. That's not justice. And children, when they've been naughty, you know, they go, this isn't justice. I have a life. You know, when they're grounded. We all have a sense. So even the language here can sometimes come into here And it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. Well, we have this phrase as Lutherans, and it's scripture interprets scripture. And so when you come to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, notice how those words connect to these words about justice and mercy and about loving and kindness and about walking humbly with God. Notice how the words of the Beatitudes is about how it plays out in our life. And it helps us to understand the kind of justice that God talks about and the kind of love that God talks about and the kind of humility that God instills in our heart and in our mind. Because as we take a look at that list, humility in the sense of spiritual surrender, blessed are the poor in spirit, it means to completely depend on God instead of acting like we're independent agents, making and creating our own life. And blessed are those who mourn, that is to grieve. And it's not just because we have lost a friend or a family member so special to us, but it's the context about grieving over the consequence of sin. We grieve because there is violence. We grieve because there's crime. We grieve because there's greed and selfishness. We grieve in the sense we mourn, we lament of what we do to one another and sometimes what we do to ourselves. Blessed are the meek, that is the humble. You know, not the arrogant, not the boastful, not the proud, not the haughty, snotty, and words I'm not supposed to use in church. Blessed are the meek. Instead of that arrogance, there is love. Instead of that pride, there is humility. Instead of me first and selfishness and self-righteousness, there is, I came to serve others. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness instead of the things of this world, because that's often what we count as good. It's good. It would be awesome if we win the lottery. And yet you hear the stories on TV because they got a program all about it. You know, how many lottery winners have been broke in so many years, and how many have had their lives messier with more money instead of easier, and how many have ended in divorce, and how many of the kids just went off the deep end, bought everything and anything, and then they wondered how they got there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They spend time in the Word. And if you think about today, if we did a survey, how many people are in the Word at least once a week, other than Sunday, even those numbers in our America today, where we have the freedom to read the Bible and study it, those numbers are down. We find ourselves thirsty and hungry for other things than God. We don't have time for God. Blessed are those who are merciful instead of insisting on their own way. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, you know, the right motives. Blessed are the peacemakers, the reconcilers, those who forgive, those who encourage forgiveness and reconciliation instead of the instigators. You know the instigators, right? You know, guess what I heard Sally said about you, you know, you know. And then we sit back and we watch the fight. We instigate more trouble than we ever imagined, just with our words and attitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, treated poorly, bullied for doing what is right. You may have heard the news. There was almost another Columbine event. Did you catch that on the news? And some kids went and told the right people. But I have no doubt that some of the fellow students in that school are going, you snitched, you ratted out, you know. I have no doubt that those students that talked might get persecuted. Isn't it crazy? We don't want the bullseye on us, so we often do not stand up for what is right. And we don't speak for what is true. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. That is on the account of Christ. And so again, the words of Micah, you know, God has told us what is good. He has told us what the Lord requires of us. And that is to do justice in God's kind of way. As he puts his heart and his word in us, he puts that sense of justice in there. And justice includes the cross. As in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Justice includes the fact that I do not have to get vengeance and retaliate. Because in the sense of justice, God's justice, their crime, their sin against me and against the Lord has been paid for by Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been mad because somebody did something to you? And did you ever want to get even? Yeah. Growing up, I thought I was smarter than everybody else. I figured before anybody else, why get mad at what they do to me? I'll just start it. So instead of waiting until my brother hit me, I'd hit him first. We live in a kind of spiritual death insanity. Because we have redefined what is good. We have redefined what is just. We have even changed the word love, haven't we? If you love me, let's live together. You know, we call that love. You know, if you love me, you'll steal that. If you love me, we have manipulated that word to beyond measure. And that's not the kind of love that God is talking about. And we have redefined what it is to be humble, because in our culture today, you do not want to show weakness, gentleness, softness, tenderness, because people will walk all over you. Am I right? Today we are reminded that out of all the things we define as good and all the things that we chase after because it is good in our thinking, it's good to refocus a little bit. To come back to God's word and think, what does God say is good? And am I willing to live according to God's word, or am I going to hold on to humanity's definitions? Because humanity sort of lives like eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? Something like that. But I think the child of God gets to say, to rejoice, to serve, and to love. To proclaim God's glory while we are here together on earth. And one day we will continue that perfectly in heaven. And that's a better version than tomorrow we die. The Sermon on the Mount is about the blessedness of being God's people and the difference that it makes. But it wasn't new. It was also in the Old Testament. This is what God wants of you. And in order for you to accomplish these wonderful things, he puts Christ in you. And did Christ do these things perfectly? Did he do justice perfectly? Did he love kindness in the most wonderful way? And did he walk humbly before the Father? The answer is yes. And when you think about the Beatitudes, did Christ model that? And the answer is yes. And that's the power, that's the presence of God who is in you. That by faith, we are strengthened to be this kind of life and this kind of lifestyle. This is how we do the good in the world that is not so good. And this is how we do the good before the Lord. Now, will we ever do it perfectly? No. But that doesn't give us reason to stop or to quit or to redefine it. But we simply confess our sins, are restored again, and daily in Christ, we go forward to do that which is good, that which God says, this is important. And if you think about it, it's not about which profession you're in or what career path. It's wherever you are planted, wherever God leads you. This is part of our life. God has taught us that which is good. And we live that which God has taught us to the glory of his name. Amen.